Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 21 for our thoughts this morning. 1 Kings chapter 21. First Kings chapter 21. This morning we'll begin our text with verse 17. The word of God declares, "And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring upon thee and will take away thy posterity and will cut off from Abraham him that pisses against the wall and him that is shut up and left in Israel and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. It came to pass when Ahab heard those things, those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Heavenly Father, we come again before you, thanking you for this day and this opportunity to worship and praise you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for everyone gathered in your sanctuary this morning. On your day, the Lord's day. And Father, I just pray you'll bless them for their faithfulness coming on your day to worship you. Lord, I thank you for our guests and visitors that are with us today. Lord, I just am so thankful that we can still come and assemble in your house and in your name and share the word of God. I'm thankful for the freedom and liberty that we have in Christ. And Father, now as I break the bread of life, I pray you'll forgive me of any sin or shortcoming, anything that would hinder the message, prevent me from preaching boldness and authority, your truths. Lord, I just want to be a vessel of honor that might glorify you. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, speak to hearts need to be spoken to this morning. And Lord, if there's one that needs to come for whatever reason, Lord, may your Spirit lead them to do it today before it's eternally too late. Be the prayer request. Pray, Lord, you'll just restore those that are sick to the much-wanted health. Those that will be traveling, those that aren't with us, you know, the hindrances, we just pray that, Lord, they'll be back with us. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you, Lord, for our salvation and the assurance. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you would be seated, thank you for being here this morning. This morning, I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes on the subject of when God says, that's enough. Beloved, I think even today, we're getting close to where God says that's enough. But understand, this passage takes place 5 or 6 years after Elijah got spooked by Jezebel and ran and hid under a juniper tree. And the angel of the Lord had to come and sustain him and told him, no, you need to go to the Mount of the Lord. Of course, that was Mount Horeb. And he took him 40 days to get there. 40 days and nights, think about that. He was already in the wilderness. 40 days and nights to get there, and he was sustained by what the angel of the Lord fed him. But here's the fun part. He gets there, and the first thing that the Lord asks him is, what are you doing here? Has the Lord ever asked you, what are you doing here? But that's where it took place. 5 or 6 years. Now listen to me. After that experience, we find the Lord sending Elijah to the king. Now, what happened in those 5 or 6 years? Well, the Bible doesn't say what took place. But I'm here to tell you this. Whatever was going on, God was dealing with Elijah. Some folks say, and I've heard it say, well, during that time, he was preparing Elijah, for the ministry God had given him. Well, it could be. I don't know. But have you ever stopped to think maybe God was using that time to kind of let Elijah rest up? You know, sometimes the Lord will set us down. He's not done with us. He's not putting us on a shelf to where he never uses us again. But sometimes he will just put us in a place where we can be ministered to by him. And during those times, I'll go ahead and say it to a preacher, that's the worst thing that could happen. Because of our ego, you know, we tend to think that, man, the Lord has to have me. No, he don't. Sorry, don't have to have me at all, don't have to have you. But sometimes he puts us over here. And the reason he gives us a little cooling spell is so that you and I will seek his face. You and I will pray. You and I will get closer to him and become more like Christ so that when he does to say, all right, now I've got work for you to do, he gets us out there. So now, the Lord comes to Elijah and says, I want you to go and talk to Ahab. Now, understand, Ahab was married. He was the king, but he was married to one of the wickedest women that had ever come into the world. Her name was Jezebel. That name even sounds wicked, doesn't it? Jezebel. And of course, when he married her, he married a pagan. Believe me, those two were unequally yoked. And let me just say this to our young people. Understand your Bible. Read it. Study it. And no, God is not going to bless a union that's unequally yoked. He's not going to do it. You're not going to have nothing but trouble. You've got to both know the Lord as your Savior. And I'll throw this in and won't charge you. Both of you better be on the same page when it comes to doctrine. You don't go Pentecost and come Baptist over here. Y'all come together. A lot of folks don't like to hear that, but that is the truth. Let me get off of that and get back to Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he has gone down to possess it. Everybody knows the story. If you'll read chapter 21, the first 16 verses, you'll understand what he's talking about. You see, he wanted Naboth's vineyard. And Naboth, listen, that land was his and it had been passed down from generation to generation. He wasn't going to sell it, even though Ahab offered him another one. But he coveted that vineyard. And he wouldn't sell, and of course he's sulking. He's laying on his bed, and his little old wicked wife comes and says, what's troubling you, honey? Well, Naboth won't sell me his vineyard. Oh, bless your heart. Well, you just lay there and take your nap. I'll handle it for you. That should have been a clue right there. Amen. I'm not going to say it. I'll get in trouble. Every idle word I got to give an account for, so I won't say it. That's right, my wife says. Anyways, understand. She goes, hires men to lie. They kill Naboth. And of course, I'm sure she went back, honey, you know that vineyard? It's yours. It's free. It's clear. Take possession of it. It's yours. So now Ahab is going down to take possession. I want to stop right there and simply say this. Do you think God didn't see what he was doing? A lot of times when we sin, and I'm talking to all of us, we have a little sin that nobody else knows about except the Lord. You see, the eyes of the Lord are every place, beholding the evil and the good. And here God sees this and he says, enough is enough. We cannot play with God. When it comes to sin in our hearts and in our lives, and listen to me, child of God, I know you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We can't hang on to that sin. We have to repent and turn away from it. But if you think that you can continue to do what you're doing and hide your sin and cover your sin from God, are you in for a rude awakening? Because he knows not only what the sin is, he knows the motive behind the sin. And one day he'll give you enough rope, just like he gave Ahab here. He'll give you enough rope and then he'll yank it in his time. Now notice what it says. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord. This wasn't Elijah. This was God telling Elijah exactly. This is what you tell him. Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Now, again, since God knows, he sees everything, you can't hide nothing from God, he sends Elijah there. Elijah goes, and the Bible says that Ahab is in the vineyard, and he sees Elijah. And I'm sure he thought to himself, oh, my enemy has come. Well, see, this is what sin will do for you. See, it'll trip you up. You see, Elijah wasn't his enemy. You see, Elijah was just doing what God told him to do. In fact, Elijah was wanting to help him. But what happened was, he didn't recognize Elijah as a friend. He was an enemy. No, his true enemy was the woman he was married to. Amen? She was the one. And I'm sure in his defense, Ahab probably thought, well, I didn't do anything. She did it. Why would you come to me, Lord? Because he was just as guilty. Oh, he may not have killed Naboth physically, but he knew all about it and did nothing to save him. You see, no, he couldn't have. He knew. He knew what that woman was capable of. I could say something else, but I won't. Because I got too many women, they outnumber us men. Amen. Anyways, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed or taken possession? Understand, they took possession of Naboth's rightful vineyard out of what? Deceit. They were guilty of deceit. They were guilty of murder. They were guilty of all kinds of things to possess something that they had no right to possess. And God's calling them to the carpet now. He says, you know what? I've had enough. And I'm going to go ahead and say something. It's a dangerous thing, beloved, you that's hanging on to your little secret sin. Get this. One day God will say, that's enough. And you don't want to be there. He's had plenty of time to make things right. But he hasn't. And let me throw this in. A lot of folks think they have plenty of time. In fact, a lot of folks have the mindset, well, God didn't see it. He doesn't know. I'm going to hang on to it because it brings me pleasure. I'm going to hang on to it because it's what I want. Go ahead. Go right ahead. But listen to me. When it comes to God's judgment, the judgment of God takes a while. It takes a lot for God to finally say, that's enough. But when He puts judgment into gear, it will eventually, if you don't repent and make things right, it will eventually grind you to powder. That is a fact. Now notice, dogs are going to lick your blood. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answers, I found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Not only was it bad enough he took possession of something that didn't belong to him by deceit and by murder, but listen to me, Ahab became pagan, which led the nation of Israel into idolatry, and his sin didn't just affect him and his wife, it affected the whole nation. And folks, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Abortion today, it affects the whole nation. Homosexuality affects the whole nation. You can see it. You can see God saying, that's enough. It's coming. Thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. And that word sold, what he's talking about is you have taken up a lifestyle that does nothing but feed your flesh. Day after day, you're sowing the flesh and you're hurting the nation. Notice what he says. And Ahab said unto Elijah, hast thou found me? Verse 21, behold, I will bring evil upon thee and will take away thy posterity and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And then here's the sad point. And will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation. You see, what he's saying is, all right, I've had enough. I've seen your sin. Now I'm going to put judgment on you, and that judgment is death. But not only you, but also your whole house, your children, and your grandchildren. I am going to judge them. I've seen it so many times, and beloved, child of God, listen to me, please. If you claim to be what you say you are, a child of God, you better be that thing, especially at home, because you've got kids in that house that are watching you. And if you allow sin to enter into that house, don't be surprised when they grow up, they don't go the same path, commit the same sin. I've seen it so many times. Well, I don't know what to think about it. I do. Why weren't you in church? Why weren't you praying? Why weren't you bringing your kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Instead, you just turned them to the world. And now you're wondering why they don't want to fly right, You're wondering why they don't want to come to church, why they don't want to read their Bibles, why they don't want to pray, why they don't want to live a godly, righteous life. You're wondering why? You don't have to do anything but look in the mirror. Now that's harsh, but that's truth. Notice, behold, I'll bring evil upon you. In other words, I'm going to judge you. And will make your house like those other two kings. And then notice, wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. Listen, God is patient. He's long-suffering. He's loving. He's merciful. But listen to me, there will come a point where finally he gets angry. And beloved, he's the one person you don't ever want to become angry with you. Amen? God knows what he's doing. He says, I'm angry. That took a lot. A lot of time passed. But then God said, that's enough. I wonder this morning, who's here that's about to hear the words of God say, that's enough. Dangerous ground. Something to think about. Amen. Now notice. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. What happened to Ahab's little queen? She got tossed out a window, fell down, burst, and just as the Lord said, the dogs literally licked her blood. In fact, not only licked her blood, ate what they could. There wasn't a whole lot left of her. You see, you don't play when it comes to the judgment of God. You don't play around with the things of God. You cannot be holy Sunday morning and go out Monday morning and the rest of the week live just like the world. It ain't going to work. God will finally say, that's enough. It dishonors him and his house and his people. Amen. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. He's talking about every descendant. They are going to be judged by the actions of Jezebel and King Ahab. What did they do? Well, again, killed someone, deceived someone, stole what didn't belong to them. What didn't they do? I ain't counting all of the false idolatry they led Israel, the nation, into. You see, payday someday. The Word of God said this: for whatsoever a man shall sow, therefore shall he also reap. Beloved, we don't get by with things. Now, Ahab, I'm sure, thought to himself, Elijah, why are you telling me this? And let me just say this. Elijah was pretty plain. He said exactly what God told him to say. You see, Ahab couldn't get by with saying, who's he talking to, me? What's he talking about? You know, it was plain. It was right there. Kind of reminds me of when Nathan went to King David and said, you're the man. Thou art the man. You see, Elijah came with God's message. And his message was really a simple message. You've done this. And God says, I'm done with it. Enough is enough. Now, something very important. So I want you to see a little grace now. We've talked about judgment. And here's the thing. God sees everything, right? Knows everything, right? God doesn't let things slide. There will be action taken. Because as His children, we are accountable for our actions. But listen, God is also loving and merciful. I'm so thankful for mercy. I'm thankful for grace. Listen, if anyone deserved to die and be punished, it was Ahab and that wicked woman of his. But God offered grace. But listen, there was a stipulation there. You see, Ahab had to repent. Now, I know repentance is a word this old world surely don't like to hear. No one likes to be told that they're a sinner. No one likes to be told, you need to change your ways. And in fact, the sad thing is, when a person does see someone heading down the wrong path, and God lays it on their heart and they go to talk to that individual, instead of receiving godly counsel and saying, oh, you're right, I need to make things right with God, what's the very thing they do? They turn on that person. Amen? Y'all ever been there? Oh, my goodness. I feel like I have to dodge the rocks, dodge the bottles, dodge the clubs. Thank God I've never had to dodge a bullet. One of these days, you never know. But they turn on them. Repentance is not thought of today in the world. They don't want to hear it. But the Bible says, and Jesus said this, and if Jesus says that He's God, you are to pay attention, because He said, except you repent, you're going to perish. And not only that, God said this over in Acts 17. He commands all men everywhere to repent. At the time of his ignorance, he winked at. But now commands all men to repent. Beloved, that's the key, making things right with God. When you are called to the carpet by God, He sees your sin. Stop trying to sweep it under the rug. Confess your sins. If thou shalt confess thy sins, thou shalt be what? Forgiven. We confess our sins. Who's faithful? God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice what he said. There was none like unto Ahab, verse 25, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. I know it sounds like I've been harsh on his little queen bride. She was a wicked woman. And I could say something about wicked women today, especially in power today. They're wicked. Payday someday. There's coming a day God will say, that's enough. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all things, as did the Amorites, which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now look at verse 27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. Understand. When he was finally confronted with his sin by the man of God, Elijah, and he knew God wasn't playing, the man came with a message, you're going to die. Why? Because of your sin. He truly repented. He humbled himself, recognized his sin, and asked the Lord to forgive him. That's what repentance is. Everybody knows what repentance means, right? It's when we come to the conclusion that what God said about the sin, you're right, Heavenly Father. You've been right all along. And I'm sorry. You see, a picture of repentance would be me walking this way, going down this path, and all of a sudden I've repented and I turn completely 180 and go back to the right path. That's what repentance is. And that's exactly what Ahab did. And look at what God said. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days." Because he humbled himself. Child of God, if there's sin you're trying to hide, get rid of it. Humble yourself before the Lord. Repent of your sins. Confess it, Lord, I agree with you. I've sinned. And I'm sorry. And turn about face. Turn away from that sin. And God will forgive you. You see, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. No, I tell you what, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me share something with you out of Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2. You say you're going to 8, 9, and 10. That's a wonderful passage. I love that passage. But no, that's not where I'm going. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened," made alive, "us together with him," or with Christ, "by grace ye are saved." Beloved, nobody loves you like God does. And God is plentiful when it comes to mercy and grace. And it doesn't matter how bad of a sin it was. In God's eyes, they're all the same. He just wants you to turn away from them. Why? Because, one, you're dishonoring the Father. You're dishonoring His church. And you're hurting your testimony. Stories told about a man that had a house for sale, and there's a family that wanted it, but they weren't well-to-do. But they wanted the house, and after a lot of bargaining back and forth, the homeowner said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do." He goes, "I'll let you have the house for half of what I'm asking for." And the guy goes, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, but there's one stipulation. You let me put a nail over the door. And that's my nail. If you'll do that, I'll sell it to you." "Well, absolutely." So he put his nail over the door. Several years went by, and that owner wanted the house back. And he asked the fellow if he'd sell it back to him. He said, "Nope. We're happy here. I don't want to sell the home." So he said, "He's not going to sell it to me. They're going to have to move out eventually. I know what I'll do." And he went out and he found an old dog's dead carcass. And he took that carcass and he hung it on that nail. After a little while, it began to really stink. In fact, it became uninhabitable. There it is, hanging over the door. And they can't do anything because when he sold the house to them, the stipulation was he owned that nail over the door. if you and I allow sin to stay in our lives, listen to me, the devil is going to hang a peg, and it won't just be that one sin, it'll end up being a whole bunch of garbage hung on that nail. And when we have enough sin in our lives, it makes the house uninhabitable. Child of God, that's why you're to repent. You're to confess your sins. God already says He'll forgive your sins. He already says, I love you and I offer you mercy. Now here is, anybody deserve to die? Ahab did. But because he repented, the Lord said, you know what, Elijah? I know you're probably struggling with this, but did you see what he did? He humbled himself before me. Because of that, I will not judge him. I'll pass the judgment on down the line to the next generation. Now, don't get me wrong. You, like Paul Harvey used to say, read the rest of the story. You'd have thought Ahab would have learned his lesson. Did he? No, he began to sin some more. Yeah, he did, sister. Folks, the point is, though, at this one time when God said, enough, he got right. What about you this morning? Maybe you're on the sound of my voice and you come through these doors and you've heard the Word of God preached. You've sat in Sunday school, heard great teaching concerning the Word of God. But you've yet to trust Jesus as your Savior. Understand, one of these days, God could say, that's enough. I'm through dealing with you. I've given you plenty of time. And yet you say, no, no. No, and by the way, when you say no, you're rejecting Jesus. He says, that's enough. Oh, my Lord, I'm so thankful I wasn't that ignorant. You say, you're calling me ignorant? If you are turning down forgiveness, eternal life, what should I call you? Smart? No. Think about that. Let that sink in a minute. God loved you so much, He did everything that needed to be done so that you might be forgiven and cleansed from every sin you've ever committed, and forgiven and given eternal life because of that cross. He sent His Son. Take your judgment and mine and the sins of the whole world. That's how much He loves you. You see, His love is everlasting. He loves us in the good times, and even when we're at our worst, He still loves us. But listen to me, He is a holy, righteous God, and He's not going to let sin slide, whether you belong to Him or not. Sin is a no-no. But He offers you grace and forgiveness now. Ahab, I'm sure in his mind, before it dawned on him, he's not playing now. He has seen everything. How do I know? Because everything the man of God is saying, I did. And the man of God came because God sent him. Listen to me. He was guilty. And when you and I sin, we're guilty. And the only way the guilt can be dealt with is to humble ourselves and repent. If we're willing to do it, He's willing to forgive. So my prayer, my heart's desire, you're under the sound of my voice, here and now. You've never asked the Lord to be your Savior, you'll do that. Don't go to hell, you don't have to. He'll save you if you just ask Him. If you're under the sound of my voice, I don't know your heart, I don't know your motive, but God most certainly does. If you think you can get by playing with the Lord, can't do it. If you think you can sweep it under a rug where nobody will know, you can't do it. It's time to confess it, repent of it, and turn from it. Because if you continue to conceal it, it will be brought to light one day, and one day you will hear, that's enough. And then the chastening comes in. Hebrews chapter 12. Beloved, he's talking to saved Jews there. Those that have repented and trusted Christ. And he's talking about whom he loves, he will chasten. Do you want him to bring the switch or the whip to your back? I don't. Because I guarantee you, he knows how to whack. Amen? So don't toil and play. It's serious business. There'll come a time when God says that's enough. What will you do? You have been warned. You have been warned. If you're here, come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of hiding this. You already know I need help with it. It's a weakness. But forgive me and guide me and help me to overcome this. And when I repent, and I truly do, Lord, keep me on the path of righteousness. Don't allow me in the flesh to turn from you. He'll honor that prayer, and he will help you. Amen? How many people have we ever seen walk the aisle, give their heart to Christ, and before dope addicts, alcoholics. And you know what's amazing to me? Those that walk the aisle and they are truly born again, God delivers them from those addictions. They have no more desire. Huh. Is that a coincidence? No, that's the power of Christ. No matter what you're dealing with, what your addiction is, listen to me. God can deliver you and set you free this morning. Call upon the name of the Lord. You'll be saved.